Scripture reading is Psalm 46. God is our refuge and strength, and ever-present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear, though the earth give way and the mountains fall into the heart of the sea, though its waters roar and foam and the mountains quake with their surging. There is a river whose streams make glad the city of God, the holy place where the Most High dwells. God is within her. She will not fall. God will help her at break of day. Nations are in uproar. Kingdoms fall. He lifts his voice. The earth melts. The Lord Almighty is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. Come and see what the Lord has done, the desolations he has brought on the earth. He makes war cease to the ends of the earth. He breaks the bow and shatters the spear. He burns the shields with fire. He says, "Be still and know I am God." I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord Almighty is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
I'd like to say welcome to my little niece today. She's over here. We didn't want to traumatize her by having her sit in the front. I guess that was a good suggestion. Her name is Wilder, so you can say hi to her after. So we're delighted to have her here, and she's very curious and looking all around, so that's great. Let's say together, "For unto us a child is born." Ready?
For unto us a child is born.
And now with more energy, "Unto us a son is given, glory to God in the highest."
Unto us a son is given, glory to God in the highest.
Thank you. I'm sensing low energy has nothing to do with that atmospheric river, whatever it's called, that's been upon us. And I needed the energy. So thank you. We rejoice that we're here together. This is our second reading, and today we read of Joseph, and we're in Matthew 1, starting in verse 18. This is how the birth of Jesus the Messiah came about. His mother Mary was pledged to be married to Joseph, but before they came together, she was found to be pregnant through the Holy Spirit. Because Joseph, her husband, was faithful to the law, and yet did not want to expose her to public disgrace, he had in mind to divorce her quietly. But after he had considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, "Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins." All of this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet. "The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel," which means God with us. When Joseph woke up, he did what the angel of the Lord had commanded him and took Mary home as his wife. But he did not consummate their marriage until she gave birth to a son, and he gave him the name Jesus. This is the word of the Lord. There was a time when how one worshiped shifted from giving offerings and making animal sacrifices, offerings to God in the temple for atonement for one's sins. There were a lot of specific instructions for all of these sacrifices, and if you've read the Old Testament, you've read much of that law and those instructions there. But they, in large part, shaped the Israelites' identity as they navigated their relationship with God and sin, which came between this, disrupting their relationship individually and also as a community of people. The tabernacle and then the temple, when it was constructed, were these holy locations for such sacrifices and were believed to hold the very presence of God. There's some wonderful passages in there and some funny ones too Maybe we'll dig into the Old Testament in the new year a little bit. With the temple's destruction in 70 AD, their spiritual practices and their practice of worship shifted, as this place had been the center of their life together, as well as their spiritual lives and their worship together. So without this place for offerings and the animals and so on, focus shifted, big picture, to the Torah, the law handed down by God through Moses that we read in the first five books of the Bible today. So in short, the temple was replaced by the Torah. So I spoke to this a little bit in the last couple of weeks as we read of the angel's appearance to Zechariah and his wife Elizabeth, both followers and lovers of the law, observing the law not as a have-to kind of thing, but as something they did out of love for the law and love for the Lord. Then last week we read of the angel's appearance to Mary. And we'll read each of these stories a little bit more on Christmas Eve just as a reflection and a reminder. But it's been fun to dig in a little bit. What's been most interesting to study is these individuals' reactions to the angel's appearance and the commands from the Lord when they've come. And we've spoken it as trust in God. We've talked about the difference between Mary's willing obedience and Zechariah's doubt, and what that looked like. So this week we read of Joseph. And I had a song in my head all week by Michael Card way back in the day in the 80s called Joseph's Song. Does anyone know it? It was a good song. This is where we envision some of the inner thought of Joseph and how he might feel as this is all happening to him. He says, "How could it be this baby in my arms, sleeping now so peacefully? The Son of God," the angel said, "how can it be?" He goes on to say, "Father, show me where I fit into this plan of yours. How can a man be father to the Son of God? For all my life, I've been a simple carpenter. How can I raise a king?" It's a beautiful song, and quite frankly, Joseph says more in this song than he does in all of Scripture. We know very little about him, but in today's passage, we're actually told he was faithful to the law. Verse 19, he was righteous. Like Zechariah or Elizabeth or Mary, he followed the law. He observed Jewish law. It was important to him and reflected his love for the law and his love for the Lord. So his life was impacted by his relationship with the Lord in that way. Now, why would this reading in Matthew be telling us a little bit about this? Matthew's really interested in telling us that Jesus came to fulfill the law. Jesus, when we read this gospel, Jesus taught a fuller understanding of the meaning and the interpretation of God's will. He broadened the law. He fulfilled the law. And in terms of how worship evolved over those centuries, following Jesus' death and the destruction of the temple and that center, that physical center of worship, early followers of Jesus sought to then follow in his ways. So you heard how that all sort of evolved there. They focused on his teachings. They talked about how he said to treat people. They tried to follow how he said to relate to God the Father. And Jesus' father, he's part of that, one of the early followers of Jesus Christ, decided to follow this baby before he was even born. His life became all about this baby, as it normally does when you have a baby. But when that angel spoke to him, his quiet little life was changed forever. As I said, we don't know very much about him, not even when teenage Jesus at 13 or 12 got lost in the temple. We don't see him there. We hear Mary scold Jesus when she can't find him. As one writer put it, in what is written about Joseph, he spends more time with angels than he does with people asleep. And this is true. Certainly he's asleep in these texts we read as Joseph experiences the most dream appearances by angels that we read in Scripture. In Matthew chapters 1 and 2, in fact, the angel says something to him, reveals something to him 4 times. Now, all jokes about men sleeping or falling asleep aside, as I know you're thinking that, we have tremendous examples of obedience to the Lord in Joseph, the underestimated and overshadowed and overlooked Joseph. And after we're introduced to Joseph in this section, in verse 20, we're told Joseph had actually already made up his mind about what he was going to do with this situation in his family. For those of us who rarely change our minds when our minds are set on something, right? There's a little bit of a lesson here. Joseph had resolved to divorce or annul their marriage and to do so quietly, and this was actually a kind and merciful decision, considering Mary, his assumption being she had been with another man, she would have deserved to be stoned, according to the law laid out in the Old Testament. Joseph had already decided, but what happens? He listens, changes his mind. And to capture our attention in the Greek text, there's actually a great big behold right before the angel appears. This is like saying in Greek, pay attention to what happens here. This is a really big deal. Behold, an angel appears to Joseph in a dream. And once again, the angel, just like the couple last weeks we've had together, provides specific instructions to Joseph, not only for him to take Mary as his wife, but also to name this baby and to name him Jesus once he's born and to take him as his son. I mentioned our season of giving as we opened our service today, and you all have been so generous. There's a lot of things in there, and there's so much more that Jill has already delivered to at least a few different places of service in our community. Amazing. Perishable and non-perishable food, the toys for kids that went to the fire department, toiletries for those that need them, gloves and mittens and hats. We heard a report from her a couple weeks ago about Northwest Children's Outreach, which is amazing. You'll hear more about that in the new year, and all of the really hard work they're doing right now because there are so many families and little children and tweens and bigger children, families in need. So, as always, at this time of year, our hearts go out to the people who are displaced. They may be houseless, they may be displaced from shelter. And even, I would say, to middle-class families right now who seem to be struggling, maybe with loss of a job, or the ability to fill a stocking or have a holiday meal as they normally would. Jesus speaks of the least of these, and we're reminded that in this time of year, what we do for the least of these and all of God's children really suffering in need is doing this for God and doing this for God's kingdom. We're serving Jesus when we serve people in need, and that includes those who don't have a place to live. That includes widows and orphans and children. In Jesus' time, children were not members of a family until they were legally recognized as such. When Joseph considered annulment from Mary, Jesus was at great risk of being fatherless. You recognize the term from other places in Scripture, the fatherless, the orphans. He was at risk of being fatherless. He needed to be accepted by Joseph, not abandoned, as this, and much worse, I don't feel comfortable talking about, was a common practice to these little babies who were born. Sometimes these children were abandoned and then perhaps picked up by a slave and raised by slaves. And so one way for Joseph to take Jesus as his son was to follow the angel's instruction and to name this baby. And he does, of course, taking him as his son. A commentator writes, the angel was commissioning Joseph with emphasis on the fact that he was of the house and lineage of David to acknowledge the child in Mary's womb as his very own son. At risk of going a little bit too off track here, does that action, adopting that child and naming him and becoming his son, remind you of anything? We should have a great big behold right here in our text. Two quick verses, Ephesians 1:5. In love, God predestined us for adoption to sonship through Jesus Christ in accordance to his pleasure and will. And Romans 8:15. The spirit you received does not make you slaves so that you live in fear again. Rather, the spirit you received brought about your adoption to sonship, and by him, because of this, we cry, Abba, Father. We are able to name our God, our Father. Just as God adopted us as sons and daughters through Jesus Christ, Joseph adopts this little baby and names him Jesus, providing that he will be his son. Then verse 22 says, all of this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet. The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us. So all of this took place to fulfill this prophecy from Isaiah 7. That means God planned it ahead. For Joseph and for all of us, the presence of God was never experienced like it is now, and as it was for them. That was a plan that was set into fulfillment long ago. God had come to us in the person of Jesus Christ, and that was always the plan. And this would not only change how Joseph worshiped, but it would change how he made decisions, how he cared for his family, how he moved forward, where he would live, shaping the rest of his life according to God's word. Because remember, we haven't even touched on three other times that he hears from an angel with specific instructions. And this ensured Joseph would follow Jesus the rest of his life, however brief that may have been. We don't hear about Joseph very much and assume that he had passed away. But this ensured Joseph, one of the earliest followers of Jesus, continued to follow him, and that shaped his life. We need to know, those watching online need to know, God still knocks on our doors now in the person of Jesus Christ. You may not audibly hear an angel's voice. You may not have a dream. You may hear wise words from a friend. You may read from the Bible and hear the Lord in that way. You may come to a new resolve or a sense of clarity about something or a new sense of courage. There's a reason Scripture is described as alive and active, sharper than any two-edged sword and penetrating even to dividing soul and spirit, joints, and marrow. Jesus may even communicate through the words or observation or suggestion of someone who loves you. And Jesus says, here I am. I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in and eat with that person, and they with me. Joseph, already having made up his mind as a follower and a lover of the Lord and a worshiper, and he listened. He opened his ears to the angel's message of the Lord, and he opened his mind. He softened his mind and his heart, and he opened his life. We spoke of kind of the arc of worship from the tabernacle to the temple to then following the law, the Torah. Just like early followers, he and Mary as the very earliest followers of Jesus Christ, Joseph focused then on following this word of God. You and I live in freedom, no longer having to offer sacrifices to the Lord. What a mess that would be. But we receive forgiveness and new life in Jesus Christ because this work has already been done. How we live, just like for Joseph, reflects who or what we follow. We are, in other words, who we worship. As we close, I have a couple of questions for you to think about as we worship and as we await this coming of Christ that we celebrate at Christmas time. And yes, I'll email them to you this week. How is your worship affected by your growth in Christ? How is your practice of worship, much of it occurring here, affected by your growth in Jesus Christ? And the second question is a common question, but I think it's a good, timely question for this week and for this scripture we read. If others in your life do not know that you are a Christian, what evidence or fruit is there to tell them? If others in your life, in the workplace, at the gym, at the library, wherever you volunteer, if they do not know that you are a Christian, what evidence or fruit is there that would tell them? Let us ponder all of this word to us in this invitation from Christ to our lives as we listen to Lauren, as we reflect on this text together.